In the Epistle of the Sunday Mass, St. John writes to us, and he says, "My little children, let us love, not in word, nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some of you may have recently seen an excellent movie, and I recommend it to all of you. These are unusual words, I grant you, to be heard from this pulpit, but that film, For Greater Glory, it's a good one, so it won't be showing too much longer, tells the stirring tale of the armed Catholic resistance called the Cristeros, the army of Christ the King, to defend the Catholic Church during the time of the bloody Masonic and Communist persecutions that took place in the decade of the 1920s of the last century. Included in the tale is that of one brave boy martyr, all of them, these are all historical events, little Jose Sanchez del Rio. He died for Christ the King, and his martyrdom is especially moving. I am reminded, speaking of things Mexican, of an incident which used to occur during that era of persecution when there were no priests or masses south of the border at all. Once a year, by arrangement with the bishop, the faithful on the other side of the Rio Grande, Ciudad Juarez, would send a car with armed guards, and they would drive up to a Catholic church in El Paso. And the priest, having selected one of the First Communion boys, he was dressed all in white. He was given careful instructions. Take the Blessed Sacrament, or he was put into the little golden locket we call the pyx, used to take the consecrated host to the sick. And it's carried in a kind of a white silken sack with a ribbon around the neck. And the priest put it around the boy's neck, and he said, "Take our Lord to that church. Say nothing on the way, but just pray. And when you get there, go up to the altar." It was Holy Thursday, all banked with flowers and candles, like this one, and lay it reverently there. And then there came thousands of people to adore our Lord. They couldn't receive him anymore. There were no masses. And once a year only could they visit him, and so they did. But at nightfall, the little boy had his instructions to go back up to the altar, genuflect, very carefully, take the pyx, put it around his neck again, and to walk out to the waiting car and to escort our Lord in safety to the tabernacle in El Paso, the United States. Little children, St. John says today, let us love in deed and in truth. Why do you think it is that our Lord loves the little ones so very much? I think it is because of their innocence, which allows them to love with no strings attached. How precious is that innocence? God chooses these souls. How precious is that innocence? Satan covets it and does his best, even in our own families, to steal it away as quickly as possible. And he himself, our good Lord, he shows this love. He who never committed a sin, he shows it indeed. And those little ones whom he loves, sometimes he lets them be his martyrs, as in the case of Joselito, little Joseph, their red footsteps retracing the actual way of the cross. Others has he chosen, like the boy in this story, as his messengers, carefully to carry the word of life all wrapped up in white silk, where only a little child could go, to feed hungry adults, at least with gazing upon the divine presence. But it was reserved to a child of 4 years to give a sainted pontiff, Pius X, the sign, the saint he was looking for, before allowing all the children of the church, in their sweet innocence, having just the use of reason and knowing the basics of their faith and prayers, to approach the sacraments, to have their little sins absolved in confession, to have their pure souls strengthened with the Holy Ghost, to become soldiers of Christ at confirmation, and most of all, in the words of the little girl I want to tell you about today, to get Holy God, that is to say, receive our Lord, as you will, children, in a moment, in communion. So we go in this story from sunny but blood-drenched Mexico to the fair green Isle of Arran, which knew not decades but centuries of persecution. 'Tis a short trip for the same traditional Catholic faith once united both of those blessed lands. Little Nellie, Organ was the family name, was born in 1903, just a few weeks after the Pope of the Eucharist, Pius X, was elected successor of Peter. Her sainted mother, Mary Ahern, was soon to die of tuberculosis. So many did back then. But not before she had imparted the faith to her little children, including teaching a little three-year-old how to say the rosary and how to say it devoutly. They lived, the family did, in a little apartment in the camp, the barracks, for her daddy was a soldier in the British occupation army. And sometimes her father would take her to Mass, and as he did, she, holding his hand, would happily prattle on about Holy God. And no one in the family knew where she got that name from. She always said, Holy God, if not perhaps from himself. After the mother's death, it was too much for the father, being away as a soldier, to take care of the children. And so the girls went to the Good Shepherd nuns, their orphanage in Cork. And the child was soon found by the sisters to be an extraordinary one, not only in her physical appearance, her big, beautiful dark eyes, and her lovely complexion, and how pretty she looked, like an angel, all dressed up in white and pink by the sisters. Her instant and natural attraction to all of the things of God. But at the beginning, she was no angel, all the time anyway. She had a willfulness about her character, and she'd stamp her feet, and she'd cry if she couldn't get her way. One of the nuns found her some little pink slippers to wear because it hurt her feet. Later they found out why. To wear the regular shoes, she could barely walk. But she lost her shoes once as a punishment, and she always said, though, I am sorry, at the end. Quite blunt for a 3-4-year-old child. When she first got to the orphanage, someone had scalded the breakfast milk, and she took her cup and she marched right up to the nun in charge, and she said, Mother, being Irish, she had trouble saying the TH, making the TH sound. Mother, she said, taste that. And the mother superior, later on, got to love her very much. They called her Baby. And she would go to visit Baby every evening as part of a little routine. One time she asked the child, Baby, do you want to visit tonight, or would you like to say the rosary? And she said, the rosary. Kneel down, Mother, she said. Kneel down, Mother. Well, they started the rosary. The mother was sitting next to the bed. Little Nellie opens an eye and she sees that the Reverend Mother is not on her knees, and she stops her rosary and she says, "Kneel down, Mother." And so it was that the superior had to finish her rosary that night on her knees. Soon the sisters discovered the cause of her distress. She had been dropped as a baby, and she had curvature of the spine, which cruelly tortured her, as did an errant tooth that was coming in right under her tongue. It hurt her to swallow. Finally, she was diagnosed with a form of tuberculosis herself. The Irish called it the caries, and her jaw was slowly falling apart. The bone had to be taken out, and there was a horrible offensive odor. It had to be swathed many times a day with a disinfectant, which was most painful. But there was something else about that child, too. She first thought the infant of Prague in the nursery was a doll to play with, but then the sisters explained, no, that's Holy God. That's the child Jesus. Jesus is a child. And once she knew that, she learned to love him and pray to him. And they say that once she was playing with him still. She played her little tin trumpet for the baby Jesus, and then he danced for her. And that another time, the Holy Child gave her a flower from his bouquet. She was most particular about things for God. Everything had to be clean and fresh, and she would never allow any of the flowers to be dead on the altar. They had to be cleaned up. For Holy God, she would say, nothing be dirty for Holy God. One First Friday, one of the sisters had the thought of taking her to Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And as soon as she saw our Lord in the host, she had never seen a monstrance before. She gazed at our Lord with love, her face all lit up. And she said, Mother, she said, there he is. There is Holy God now. And she never took her eyes off the host for all of her visit. She had a sense of knowing when the Blessed Sacrament would be exposed. And she would announce to the nuns, remembering the old terminology from the barracks where the prison was called the lockup, she would say, take me down to the chapel. I know that Holy God is not in the lockup today. And she'd make her visit. She wanted to get communion. Finally, she realized that the sisters could not bring her communion, and she could not receive it. She had to be much older to make her communion back then. She contrived a way, though. She would beg and plead anyone who was going to communion to come to her directly afterwards. And there she'd be in bed, all clean and ready, and she would have the sister or the child give her a little kiss while their lips were still purpled with the precious blood. Then she'd dismiss them with a little gesture, and she would turn away and make her thanksgiving, sometimes a very long one. Well, the bishop had offered to come to the orphanage to confirm any of the children who were in danger of death. He got a list, didn't think too much of it. But one morning, the thought just came to him, little Nellie, I must confirm her. And so he went to the orphanage at noon to confirm her. The nuns hurried to get her ready to be confirmed. Much to their surprise, she already knew all about confirmation. She just lay there and listened complacently. From that moment on, as a soldier of Christ, they say that she never complained again, even though she suffered very much, and she never lost her temper. There was a battle. They could see it. Her face would flush, her eyes would well up with tears, but she never said a contrary word again. The bishop gave permission for this extraordinary child to make her communion at the age of 4 on St. Nicholas Day, patron saint of children. When the priest tested her, he asked, of course, as he did for you children, what is Holy Communion? And you know what her answer was? It was a beautiful one. It's Holy God, she said. It is he who makes nuns and everyone else happy. Her sufferings increased in the weeks after her communion. She made 32 altogether, and she seemed to just live on the Blessed Sacrament. Oh, Mother, though, she'd cry, I'm so happy. I've been talking to Holy God this day. And the odor went away. It was replaced with a faint smell of incense about her bed. She died on Candlemas when the child Jesus was presented in the temple. She died in great pain, but having, as it were, seen someone at the foot of her bed, and she made a gesture if she could to get up towards whatever she saw or whoever, but then she passed on to heaven. Her body was buried in the Cork Cemetery, the civil cemetery, and within a year, because of all of the miracles, it was exhumed to be buried in the nuns' cemetery. It was discovered that although she died of tuberculosis, her face was still fresh with color and her skin supple, and she had lost none of her beauty. When St. Pius X was told of this little child and how she had longed to receive our Lord, he exclaimed, "There, that's the sign I've been waiting for." And he made little Nellie's privilege the general law of the church. And this, children, is the reason why you are making your First Communion, why you're already soldiers of Christ, and why you can get up and go to confession whenever you need to, rather than waiting long years as they used to get Holy God. May she, this little child, help you, children, to love Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, to long to receive him as she did. May these children I told you about today, martyrs of love and messengers of Jesus, Jose Sanchez and the little First Communion Tarsicius and little Nellie of Holy God, may they inspire all of us to love this Holy God, not in word or in tongue, anyone can do that, but in deed and in truth. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.